Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Why are people super cocooning? We'll find out today. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is July 9th, 2013. We are right in the middle of our trends article, Super Cocooning, that begins on page 18 in your Advanced magazine, and we're talking about something that really may affect everybody, all of our listeners, whether you're here in Asia or in North America or in Europe, as far as what we do, some of our habits, our routines, and how we socialize or how we don't socialize. And, you know, what we're finding out is that people are spending more and more time at home and less time out at restaurants and traveling and doing things like that. And there are several underlying reasons for this, and that's actually what we're examining in this article. Now, I've got my two panelists back for day two, and I'm glad to have Linda Ludwig and Campbell Chong here. Hi, panelists.
Hello.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah. Now, before we get into today, let me get something from yesterday that you think might be relevant for our listeners to review.
Well, I think that the one thing that I found most interesting was is that according J.P. Morgan, we talked about this financial institution did a survey, and they found that while people at the end of 2012 spent 65% more than the previous year on electronics like TVs and tablets and things, but and the percentage of money that was spent on travel like hotels and car rentals and eating out went down quite a bit. I thought that was significant. That shows a significant trend in society.
Hmm. Yeah, that was very interesting to find out a breakdown as far as what's going down, what's going up. Campbell.
Well, for me, I thought it was interesting that cocooning itself is not a new idea. It's been around for a few decades. But it's going recently, because of all this new technology, it's going through a metamorphosis and an evolution. It's changing. And I can really see how that's happening. You know, I was just thinking that, you know, if someone really didn't want to leave their house, nowadays they don't really have to. I mean, with the internet and online shopping, you can get anything delivered to your house. You don't ever have to leave your house. You can order food. You can buy groceries online. You can buy clothes. You can buy all your entertainment. You never have to leave the house.
You know, the concept exists both here in Asia and in North America. It manifests itself differently in that we're mostly in these urban settings here in Asia. And it's a whole different – the geography of our homes and our apartments are very different because we've got these large apartment buildings in many of the metropolitan areas here in Asia compared to suburban areas primarily in the United States. And it shows itself in different forms. And I see it here in Asia as far as cocooning, whereas like many of my neighbors in my apartment building will just come home from work, go into – their caves, I mean their apartments, and not emerge until the next morning. Mm-hmm. And now the other thing is, now back in America, I notice it, for instance, when I stay at my parents' home, they live in a typical suburban home in America, I will go for walks after dinner. This is at 6:30 at night. It's sunny. It's still light out till 8:30, 9 o'clock. And I have noticed now when I go for my walks, I never see anybody. I don't see kids out playing. I rarely see another person out walking. And the last time I was there, I was there for about 2.5 weeks. And in 2.5 weeks, I think I saw 5 or 6 people mm-hmm. walking or jogging. It was amazing how few people I saw. Nobody was out. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, we do have a nightlife culture here. Yeah, our night market culture here mm-hmm. too. So mm-hmm. people do go out. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot – but it is true. In Asia, there are a lot more people on the streets than there are in cities in the States.
Well,
and Europe as well.
Yeah. Now, part of that is, again, the structure of the city here, people living in apartments, and you have to walk to the grocery store, you have to walk to the post office, you have to walk to the doctor's office. And so people are out and about. They aren't necessarily mingling with each other, but they are moving out and about. Whereas in America, it's the garage door up, garage door down society, because everybody's got to drive everywhere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they don't talk to anybody.
Right.
They get in their car. They use the electric garage door opener. Mm-hmm. Goes up. They back out, drive off to where they're going, come home, push the button, the door goes up, they pull in, and it's still, that's also more isolating. And we actually cocoon in our cars, mm-hmm, in North America. we cocoon in the home, then we get into the mobile cocoon.
And
And there are some things. So yesterday we looked at some of the bigger trends. We talked about security and fear, and then we had overall financial numbers. Today we're going to get into a little bit more of like the details, like on a household basis. We're going to get into more like the micro numbers on some of this and the hows and the whys of cocooning. Let's turn to page 19 in our Advanced magazine, and we'll have two readings today. The first one will be the left column.
Let's not go to the movies. That trend is buttressed by the slowed growth in travel and tourism spending. On the plus side, movie theaters set a box office record of $10.8 billion in 2012. But overall attendance remained flat, according to Nielsen. That's in part because Hollywood is increasingly catering to consumers by getting films from theaters into homes more quickly via on-demand or pay TV services. Among those who stay close to home, a subset of about 7% of U.S. homes with internet access are inhabited by heavy home entertainment cocooners, said consulting and research firm Frank N. Majid Associates. They spend nearly $300 each month on pay TV, internet service, video games, on-demand video, music, books, newspapers, and magazines, said Majid.
We finished yesterday with some of the data from J.P. Morgan Chase. They were analyzing credit card expenditures and how consumers were spending less on things like hotels, car rentals, restaurants, and tolls, going out less, traveling less. But even this going out then can be moved to going out, meaning the movies. And we start our section today with an interesting title.
Yeah, I like it. It says, "Let's not go to the movies." I mean, In the past, we would always say, "Hey, let's go see a movie. Let's go to the movies." Now it's, "Let's not. Let's just stay home."
Okay. All right. And so we're picking up from this section yesterday, talking about lower travel spending. And we pick up with this sentence.
We see that the trend, okay, or that trend that we talked about yesterday, is buttressed by the slowed growth in travel and tourism spending. And we talked about that at the end of yesterday. And this term buttressed is a great word. It's a very strong word that means to support, okay? It strengthens something. It supports something. So we can see that the slow growth spending in this sector is moving to another sector,
Yeah. Which
I thought was very interesting.
Okay, it's not just one area, but there's other areas that actually support this premise. And then we get into movie theaters, films, a favorite activity for people here in Asia as far as this. Now, the numbers are kind of interesting. We see on the plus side.
Yes, it says on the plus side, movie theaters set a box office record of $10.8 billion in 2012, which is quite a high number. But the interesting thing is overall attendance remained flat. So while people were making money on movies, fewer people were actually going to the theaters to see the movies.
Or they stayed the same, right?
Right.
There's no increase.
Yeah, it's pretty much about the same. I was looking at the numbers as far as ticket sales at movie theaters, and there's not much change over the previous 3 years. 2010, 2011,
About 1.3 billion tickets sold. 2012, 1.4 billion. Not much change, but they actually are projecting 2013 to go down to 1.2 billion, which is a reduction of 200 million movie tickets.
Wow.
So it's actually, they are projecting a drop. So, but it's kind of confusing, all right? Attendance remained flat. What about this box office number? How did they set a record? And we get into that in the next paragraph.
Right. We see that Hollywood, I think everybody knows Hollywood, is actually changing, okay? They are starting to, it says catering to, or they're providing something that someone or something needs or wants. Usually when we think of catering, we think of preparing food for people if they have an event. But here, if you cater to somebody, that means you meet their every need. So, of course, Hollywood is about making money, and so they are looking at what consumers want, and they are getting films from theaters into homes more quickly. And, I think that that's true. Uh-huh. What I've seen is very true. They're doing this via on-demand or pay TV services.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have to pay for these services, of course. So Hollywood is making money that way. But people are viewing their movies in a totally different way.
Yeah.
Do you guys do that?
Sure. I mean, I think in the past, you'd have to wait months and months for videos to come out. But now, you know, with channels like HBO and Cinemax and things like that, you can just get the movies pretty quickly. Mm. Also, you have these pay TV services. You know, in my house, we have MOD, which is Movie on Demand, where you can pay. You can choose a movie. I mean, you don't get to keep it, but you can, you know, in a way, you pay for it even before it comes out in the video stores.
You know, you can watch Advance Magazine's Topic Talks on MOD.
Yes, you can.
You and Linda could spend an entire evening watching all of our Topic Talks for the month.
We could.
Yeah,
or
I suggest
watching
that you
Let's
do
Talk
that.
In
I
English.
Suggest. All of the Studio Classroom magazines.
Right.
So. Now, okay, so we've got this on demand, which is MOD or pay TV services. And among those, then, we also see those who stay close to home.
Okay, there is a subset, and that means another set of a set, okay?
So, a set within the set.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right, a set of a set, or within a set. And there's about 7% of these homes in the United States with internet access, and they have heavy home entertainment cocooners. That is a mouthful.
Mm. Yeah, say that fast three times.
Heavy home internet cocooners. So it means that these people that are staying at home absorb a lot of home entertainment. That's heavy home entertainment.
Yeah. Kind of a funny word, they're inhabited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's almost like we use that word sometimes like for animals almost. Well, you know, the rare species inhabits the jungle. But we're using this for human beings.
The cocooners.
Right. So here we're talking about, okay, so we have all these U.S. homes with internet access. And then we're talking about 7% of these homes with the internet access are inhabited or filled with heavy home entertainment cocooners.
Okay. Say it fast three times. Who does this come from?
Well, there is a research and consulting firm. It's Frank and Majid Associates. And they did a lot of research in this area.
Yeah.
And found these statistics for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They actually have quite a history, this firm, this Frank and Majid Associates. They were founded maybe 40 or 50 years ago. And their specialty was in like analyzing news.
Mm.
And they actually came up with many of the concepts that are used in news today, like the emphasis on breaking news, and then also the short, really, really short clips rather than detail, and some of the video things. So they're quite well known in the television industry. And so they came up with this information on heavy home entertainment cocooners. And what do they say about what people are spending?
Well, they said that they spend nearly $300 each month on pay TV, internet service, video games, on-demand video, music, books, newspapers, and magazines. So just a lot of entertainment.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
Well, I wonder if that's the average what these same people would spend if they went out a month. And so now the money is still being spent. This is what I think is interesting. The money is still being spent, mm-hmm. but it's the emphasis is on something totally different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's really does support the cocooning kind of trend.
Yeah. Now, in the United States, cable TV is much more expensive there. And if you combine cable TV and internet service, it could be anywhere between $100 to $150 just for the cable and the internet service.
Right. That's right.
So that is going – almost all homes are going to have that expense.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everybody's going to have that expense. It's a base. It's going to be there. Then you throw in on-demand charges and maybe some video games, music, books, things like that. So – you know what's interesting in all of this is I don't see like commercial TV
mm-hmm.
listed in here. And, you know, that's a whole other, you know, part of this segment. But it's interesting. All of this is about choice and selection.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much about commercial TV. Is commercial TV dying?
Well, I think commercial TV is harder to track because there's no – you're not actually spending any money to pay to watch that commercial television.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nielsen tracks it, I think, the one that
right.
we talked about in the first paragraph, but we don't – I think that this article really is looking at how people are spending their money more
mm-hmm.
on choices. Instead of going to a movie, they're doing all of these things instead.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're right, Campbell. It's hard to say because we aren't like looking in that area.
Let's move on to our second reading for today.
Why go out? These heavy cocooners are an affluent group. More than one-third, 35%, make $75,000 or more annually. Even a large portion of digital consumers in the $35,000 to $50,000 annual income bracket identified themselves as heavy cocooners. The emerging cocoon of home entertainment is being led by a new, technologically sophisticated, and more culturally diverse American consumer, said Andrew Hare, senior analyst for Magid. Consumers bought slightly more TVs last year than in 2011, with many upgrading to bigger displays, says NPD Group analyst Ben Arnold. The move toward big screen is part of that cocooning story. You've got tons of content options. You can call up Netflix or Amazon Video services directly on your TV. There's more HD content available, too, he said. There are a lot of reasons to stay home and either watch movies or sports on TV. Picture quality has become better and better. One might argue that it's a better experience than in person.
Bill Quinn here with Linda Ludwig and Campbell Chong, and we are on our second reading for today. That is July 9th of our article, Super Cocooning. And it's really pretty an interesting concept. It's a real trend here that's happening not only in the United States but also throughout the world as people are spending more and more time at home than going out when it comes to their entertainment options and also their entertainment expenditures. Now, we started our first reading had the title, Let's Not Go to the Movies. Our second section here starts with, why go out?
Yeah. So here we're talking about more – we're talking more about this concept of super cocooning. And we're finding out that these heavy cocooners aren't people that are suffering financially. They are an affluent group. So affluent here means that they have a lot of money or possessions, that they're rich. And more than one-third of these heavy cocooners make $75,000, we're talking about U.S. dollars here, or more annually.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that would be the annual income. And that's going to be based upon as far as like a household income, whether it's one or both parents working in that household. And so I can think of a couple of reasons that a lot of times – these families are spending a lot of money on their home, decorating
mm-hmm.
it, and
yes.
buying all sorts of things.
Right.
And so they feel that they almost, you know, it's a justification. Why go out? We spent all this money on this place, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
So a lot of times they'll have these big, huge screens and all sorts of other entertainment systems. But they aren't the only people doing it.
No, if we go on and we look at the second paragraph here, we can see that the digital consumers from the $35,000 to $50,000 annual income bracket, and bracket here just means a range, okay, are also heavy cocooners. So it goes across the board, okay?
Okay.
It's not just 35% of affluent people are. It doesn't say. It just says a large portion. So mm-hmm. we don't know the percentage here, but also it goes across the economic range.
Yeah. And I would say that's true. No matter – I gave the example before of how going in a walk in my parents' neighborhood after dinner, and even when I go around the city, I noticed – even driving around, it doesn't matter if it's a wealthy neighborhood I drive through, if it's a middle class neighborhood I drive through, if it's a lower class neighborhood I drive through, it's the same. Mm-hmm. Nobody's out.
Right.
So the streets are empty.
Yeah.
So now we get into another quote here from actually one of the analysts from Franklin Magid Associates.
Yeah, he says, the emerging cocoon of home entertainment is being led by a new technologically sophisticated and more culturally diverse American consumer. So here we see the word emerging, and emerging just means that it's a growing or developing area, especially in business investment. So this area of home entertainment, it's growing, and it's led by this new technologically sophisticated consumer. There's more options with technology nowadays.
Right, and it also says culturally diverse American consumer. Mm-hmm. So it also doesn't mean just from one cultural background. People
right.
from, you know, the United right. States is still pretty much a melting pot, which
yes.
means
mm-hmm.
people come from all over the world to live there. So it doesn't really matter what your culture is. They are involved as well in this consumerism of home entertainment.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think the idea here is that this new trend or this new kind of cocooning is being led by the idea of all this new technology that's
right.
coming along. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, we didn't have computers. We
mm-hmm.
had maybe a cassette player, maybe a VCR, you
mm-hmm.
know, so there weren't that many options. But now in my house, I've got the iPad, I've got my phones, I've got my computer, I've got my television. You know, I don't have to really go anywhere.
Yeah, maybe 20, 30 years ago, and over the decades, the people at the top of the economic spectrum would be the ones that had the toys,
right.
the more sophisticated toys. But actually what this is saying is that this is broad and deep. The entire economic range has got these toys.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got a computer. Everybody's got access to all of these toys.
Right. And multiple ones too,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah,
I think that's,
right. that's
the thing. Like, you know, now in the past, you know, we had one TV. So if someone was watching it, I'd either watch with them or I'd go do something else. Now my wife's using the computer, I'll just use my iPad. Or if she's watching TV, I'll use the computer. You know, I don't have to compete.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's not dependent on the other members of your household.
Right.
When I go to visit, like my brother, they have like three TVs or four TVs,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
and there are two of them.
Oh,
plus
my goodness. Yeah. Hey, we talked a little bit earlier about spending $300 a month on pay TV, internet service, video games, things like that. The next paragraph gets into some of the equipment expenditures.
Right. It said consumers bought slightly more TVs last year, so in 2012, than in 2011. And a lot of them were upgrading to the bigger displays.
Uh-huh.
And this is according to NPD, an analyst, Ben Arnold. So it looks like the trend towards big screen has really taken hold.
Yeah. Hey, talk about big screens. He continues there.
Yeah, he says the move toward big screen is part of the cocooning story. You've got tons of content options. So you have these huge screens. You know, I think part of the appeal of going to the movie theater was to be able to see the movies on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
But now if you've got the big screen at home, why go out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember when we got we don't have a huge, huge screen, but when we upgraded to a bigger screen, it was because of a baseball game. And my husband was home, sick in bed. He's like, can you go get – we need a new TV. Can you go get it?
We need the big screen. So, yeah, that's one of the reasons I go to the theater, because some movies you have to see on a big screen.
Right.
Now I can get a big screen at home. And with that, I also have lots of options for content.
Right. You have Netflix and Amazon Video services directly on TV. And this really is – not so available in Asia. It's very common in the United States, where Netflix, you pay like $7 or $8 a month, and they give you a whole range of movies and mm-hmm. TV shows that you can look at. So it's like movie on demand, kind of.
Right. And I think it's interesting that it's directly on your TV. You know, these things used to be only on your computer, but now the technology exists that you can connect it to your TV and you just watch it right there.
Okay. And with the big screen TVs, it's important to have high definition, isn't it?
Yes, HD content. And recently here at Studio Classroom, we have shifted into this area, and it's scaring the heck out of me because, you know, as a person on TV, you don't want all your little flaws out there for everybody to see. But, you know, HD content is more and more available, and people are making an argument that actually, you know, it might be even better to stay home. You get to see more.
Yeah. So they're saying that. There's actually, this is a continuation, a quote from Ben Arnold. Says there's a lot of reasons to stay home and watch what? Be like David, watch sports.
Movies,
right?
Or sports on TV. And I, you know, one time we were talking about going to a concert to see somebody play. I can't remember, a singer or somebody playing. And actually, we decided to wait and just watch them on TV mm-hmm. because you'd get a closer view than what we could afford to pay to go see this person.
Yeah.
And a lot cheaper.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's a better experience. And then if you're talking about movies, you can get, you know, English subtitles. You don't have to miss a word. You need to go to the bathroom. You can pause. You know, you can – you don't have to, you know, deal with all the different things.
There's a lot of reasons. There's one reason here as far as you know, why it might be a better experience that Ben Arnold talks about.
Well, yeah, he says picture quality has become better and better. So in a sense, it's almost like you are there, mm-hmm. you know, be with this HD, with all these pixels that are being more and more fine, you can actually feel like you're there.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and you mentioned we're talking about concert. The thing is, you could even, if you don't buy the most expensive tickets up close, you might end up in the third level and you're like 250 feet away from
what
the stage.
Call the nosebleeds.
Yeah. And the person's like tiny and you can't even see the singer down there. So you could stay at home and get up close shots the whole concert.
Right.
Listeners, thanks for joining us here today for day two of Super Cocoon, and come on back for day three. Till then, this is Bill.
And Linda.
And Campbell.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye.